So welcome, you guys. As you know, I'm Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. I have been doing this work for about 12 years now. My mentor was Pat Allen. Some people know Dr. Pat. She's pretty famous in the Orange County and LA County area. She's been on Millionaire Matchmaker. She also mentored Patti Stanger and Mary Ann Williamson. She's also been on Shaws of Sunset. So she mentored me, and I used the tools of her doctoral work, Androgynous Semantic Realignment. I used the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne, and I used tools that I've created myself. I've also written four books on this subject. If you want to check those out, those are all on Amazon. The first book, How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It, is really the manual and the guidebook for a lot of the work. The principles that this work is based on are very established. This is part of very established psychological and scientific scholarship. But what's unique about this work are the tools that execute on that scholarship. And that's where we begin to see results that other modalities really can't offer and don't offer. So if you want to change your life and you want to see changes in the patterns in your life that don't serve you, you're in the right place. My second book, New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change, really talks about what happens once we start making some of these changes in our lives. And all change, even change for the better, is painful. And a lot of times people start making changes in their life and they're feeling good and they're feeling better. And then suddenly the pain of change hits and they want to stop and they want to go backwards. And then that becomes another. If that happens, that becomes another spoke in the endless wheel, the endless cycle of negative patterns and scripting. So I really help people that once they're making that change, to understand that there will be pain and to help them move through those moments. And sometimes those moments can look a lot like the pain that change needs to take place. So that's something I help people a lot with. I've also been married over 20 years, 22 years. So all the stuff that I'm teaching you guys began when I started learning it myself and I changed my own life and my own marriage around. I found this work when I was already 10 years married. But it changed my life and I saw the power it had to change so many other people's lives that I wanted to, when I saw I was good at it and I could share it. I saw an opportunity where I could really help people in a way that I hadn't had before. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Those of you who know me know that this work gives you a distinct advantage. So if I find out somebody is using this work for negative intentions to hurt other people, to manipulate or control other people without cherishing and without respect, then I won't work with you, and it doesn't matter how much money you give me. So that's my message. Okay, so I'm going to start by giving you a brief introduction of the principles that this work is based on. Again, these are pretty established. And then we're going to move into your questions because we can talk about theory all day and night, but doesn't really matter until we start applying that theory to our problems in our life, to our issues, and see how we can use that to move ourselves forward and to level up. And when you do this work, you tend to see a level up in all areas of your life because relationships in general are all about energy. And that includes the relationship that you have with yourself. So you start making changes on an energetic level, and that radiates to other parts of your life. So a lot of times, especially in the beginning when you're making changes, you may be working on your relationships, but you may see a jump in your career. You know, it's just it, that's what I love about this work is that we're making very holistic changes. And so other parts of your life end up falling into place as well.
Okay.
So, what am I talking about here? When we talk about successful relationships, what we're talking about are relationships that are balanced between feminine and masculine energy, also known as yin and yang. There's a lot of misunderstanding of what feminine and masculine energies, what those definitions are. All of us are both. All of us have a feminine side, a right side of our brain that is passive, patient, vulnerable, receiving, feeling, creative, sexual, sensual, magical. This part, this feminine energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then we have that left brain, which is the seat of that yang energy, the single-mindedness, doing, conquering, competing, controlling, achieving, taking care of, giving. And yang energy is very much of the world. There's a great book about yin yang energy called The Yin Yang and The Yin and Yang of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee. So if you want to explore more about definitions of yin and yang, that book really breaks down everything on the planet into this duality. And you do see the gradations in between as well. You may have noticed that duality is a feature of life on Earth. And so the study of yin and yang and understanding yin and yang helps us see that without pain, there's no pleasure. Without feminine, there's no masculine. Without day, there's no night. And these things don't exist simultaneously. There are shades of gray in between, but you literally can't be giving and receiving at the exact same time. And so, understanding the principles of yin and yang, understanding how balance operates, that energy, how these the dynamics of that energy operate here really will give you an advantage in navigating life. Now, a lot of times people bump on just using feminine and masculine. One is not better than the other. Okay. All of us are both. Sometimes people don't like what is called feminine or they don't like what is called masculine. So that's sometimes why I use yin and yang. But the truth of the matter is that the most successful relationships are those that are balanced between these two energies. And so when we have problems in relationships, most of the time those problems are caused by imbalances that are expressed through communication. And that's what I help people work on the most. According to Eric Byrne, there's three ways to communicate. Bully with fear or intimidation, which is the 100% masculine. Seduce with tears or guilt, which is the 100% feminine, okay, in the extreme. Or negotiate with love. And that's what I teach. And when you negotiate with love, it's important to understand in your intimate relationships. Do you want your feelings cherished more, or do you want your thoughts respected more? Everyone wants both. But when you have a conflict or you're in an awkward situation, it is extremely helpful to take one position or the other because that allows the other person to take the opposite position. That avoids a power struggle. If you're taking up all the thoughts and feelings in a conflict, then the other person has nowhere to go. You're a 10, they're a zero, and it's in effect an act of narcissism and encourages a codependent relationship. Oftentimes in codependent relationships, zeros and tens will flip, but that's not a relationship that I teach. Okay, now. One of the problems that we have is that when we have any kind of childhood trauma, specifically between the ages of 0 to 12, this can throw off the balance of our own authentic energy within ourselves. Because within ourselves, we have that balance of feminine and masculine energy. And when we're forced at a very young age to act like adults instead of children, when we have any kind of trauma, we often become what's known as egodystonic, meaning women become more masculine and men become more feminine. And we have to make these adaptations in order to attach to the people who control our lives, right? Because human children are very much at the mercy of their caretakers. We're not about to like get up and walk around at 1 year old and be fine on our own. So sometimes in childhood, this sacrifice is made. And because we're children, we assume that these coping strategies are existential truths, but they're really just strategies of the moment. And we get into trouble when we go into our adult lives and we reenact the scenarios of our childhood, hoping to find healing. This is something that's called the repetition compulsion. It's the work of Freud. It's the work of Alice Miller, who wrote an amazing book about it called For Your Own Good. But basically, the repetition compulsion states that we are doomed to repeat that which we don't understand. And we will continue to repeat the cycles of our childhood, be they subconscious or unconscious, until we can bring them to consciousness, until we have the courage to face them and change them. And that's what takes a lot of work. Now, Freud believed you're cooked by age 12, that's it. Now we know that the brain can change. There's a great book about that called The Brain That Changes Itself by Norman Doidge. And all these books, you guys, you can find in the bibliography of my first book. But that book showed definitively that the brain is plastic, it is elastic, and we can change it. It does take work, it is a painful process. But either way, your life is going to have pain. Life in Earth is characterized in part by pain, right? So why not have the pain of change rather than the pain that change needs to take place? And ultimately, if you can't express your pain, if you suppress and repress your negative feelings, they will manifest in the body as disease. So we want to avoid that. And as soon as possible, we want to start facing these demons, because anything we're avoiding, that's what's controlling us. Okay, so that's the real basics of this work. If you don't understand everything, that's fine. This work really operates well when you've heard it repeated over and over. And I'm offering a course this September based on my first book. So it's really the introductory course to this work. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up. I put my credentials in the chat, and you can also find them on my website, chloesconsciousnesstraining.squarespace.com, and you can sign up for that. And that's just a really neat way to marry theory with our lives in a smaller, more private group setting, because these meetups are great and I love doing them because it really introduces people to this work. But in order to go deeper, you know, we either need to schedule private, and I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, or another way is to take one of these courses. Okay. So now I'm going to take your guys' questions. If you have a question, you can raise your hand, you can put it into the chat. It can be about anything I've mentioned. I also love hearing your updates because it's great to see how you're using this work in the field and how it's working for you, or what challenges you're facing in understanding things. So feel free to contribute that as well. I know sometimes it's hard to share in a room full of strangers, but sometimes it's also easier. But again, if you want privates, we can do that too. Nobody has any questions tonight? You can ask me about dating and relationships, obviously my specialty, but really, you can ask about anything. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are
Welcome.
you?
I'm good, thank you. How can I help you?
So, how can you really be able to tell, like, if you're feminine or masculine?
You mean what your authentic energy is for different? Okay, so it sometimes will change. You know, as women get older, we become more masculine because of hormonal changes, and men become more feminine, like over the age of 45 or 50. But it's a lot is determined by understanding what you want in this moment. So, what is more important to you? Do you want your feelings cherished in your relationships, or do you want your thoughts respected? Everyone wants both, but which is most important to you?
Cherished.
The feelings cherished?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the feminine energy. So in your relationships, you know, you don't have to do it all the time, but awkward situation and conflicts, you're going to be leading with your feminine energy. And for, you know, for the most part, I would say 75 to 85% women are authentically in feminine energy, but there's, you know, always 25%, 15%, maybe even more, who are more comfortable in the masculine energy. And sometimes it will, like I said, sometimes it will change.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Hi, Sophia.
Hey.
Welcome back. How can I help you?
I just came to share some more updates and possibly to see your opinion on whether I'm doing well or not.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, I'm back on online dating after that guy stonewalled me. And now I'm duty dating this one guy. I know he's not gonna work out. But I'm practicing my skills on trying to stroke their ego. Like, I asked him for help identifying a tree because I'm looking for a maple tree because I'm looking to, like, I want to make some maple syrup. And I asked him this way, like, oh, it just segued into the conversation naturally, I think. But he just responded with, I don't know, LOL. Is that a, did I do something wrong?
No, you asked for help. I mean, it's okay to ask. It's okay to say no too, He obviously didn't have the expertise that you were looking for. How many
Yeah.
times have you gone out with him?
Well, we haven't gone out yet, but we've been messaging back and forth. He
Okay.
lives too far. That's the problem. He lives like 100 miles away, and he keeps traveling across the state. So, like, it made a bogus match.
Oh,
I thought he was close.
so you're just
I hate
practicing
all
your
them
tools
people.
on him. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah. And I can
Okay.
tell this guy is the avoidant attachment, which automatically I know it's not going to work. It's so awkward having one-sided conversations. I'm basically talking to myself with him.
Yeah. Well, don't put too much work into that because, the feminine energy is more of the listening energy. But yeah, I
But
mean,
thank you for
sorry, go ahead. Are you there? Did we lose you, Sophia?
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, okay. Okay, go ahead. What were you saying? Maybe we lost you again. Okay, well, I can't hear you, so let me know when you're back in range and we'll continue with your questions. I was just gonna say, don't exhaust yourself just talking to somebody that after a while, if you already know, it's not going to work. Okay. Hi, Rose.
Hi. So I usually have questions after others ask the question.
Okay.
So this time she was talking about long distance. I also have a relationship similar to long distance. How long is long distance? This is about between 80 to 100 miles away. I have seen others talking about long distance as well. Is that not the good way to have the relationship? And in the relationship, do you supposed to go to meet that person, or should that person come to you, or halfway? What is the best
Yeah,
way?
that's a good question. Have you actually met this person yet?
Yes.
In person? Okay, good.
Yes.
Because sometimes I'll talk to people and they've just been talking to somebody online, but they haven't met in real life, and they think that that's a relationship. And if you haven't met in real life, you're not in a relationship. So for long distance, usually I find that people at a minimum want to see each other twice a month. Or every 2 weeks, which certainly sounds like it could be doable with just an eight with 80 to 100 miles, but it also just depends on the couple and what you guys want out of the relationship. Some people want to see their person every day. Some people are happy just seeing their person on the weekends. So it's about really what you can negotiate and what you want to get. There's no real right answer. The thing about long distance is more things need to be negotiated. And so you have to be vigilant about your words and deeds lining up. Meaning, if you say you're going to make a call, you're going to have a phone date or, a meeting, that you really have to stick to that, because a lot of planning has to go into that, a lot more planning than if you lived in the same city. So that's something to look out for in yourself, in your partner. The other thing about long distance is it's good to know if you guys are compatible, meaning, will there be a point in the future in which maybe you won't have to be long distance if you don't want to be? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Usually, who should accommodate it though? For example, one of us have to move.
Right. So are you guys boyfriend and girlfriend yet, or you're just dating?
No, not yet.
Okay. So if you want to be in the feminine energy, well, which do you want? Do you want your feelings cherished, or you
Feminine,
thought
yeah,
feminine? Okay.
cherished.
So if you want to be cherished, then he's probably going to be doing more of the journeying to meet you. But since it's long distance, you might want to meet him, once or twice. I definitely let him go at least 2 to 1. You could even he could even do maybe 3 to 1.
What does that mean? Distance
Meaning that
or
he would
times?
travel to you 3 times,
Ah.
and to then you would travel to him once, in that ratio, either 2 to 1 or 3 to 1. When you guys are more secure as a couple, when you're in an exclusive relationship, then you would be doing a little bit more. Not more than him, but then you might go from 3 to 1 to 2 to 1, for example. But 2 being him, 1 being you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was going to ask another question. I didn't write it down. Now I forget. Also, now it's my question. I've been thinking, what is love? I know these maybe people already asked before. I still couldn't tell
Okay.
exactly. Sometimes I get confused. What is love? What is like? And does it matter it's love or like when two are together?
Yes, it does matter, because you can love somebody and not really like them and not really like spending time with them, right? Sometimes people
I
feel that way about their parents.
really, I thought if you love someone, you always want to stay with someone.
No, I mean, I've worked with couples before who do genuinely love each other, but they don't like each other anymore. And they can't be talked back into it. Those are couples, when they come to me and they say that, then I know they're probably not going to end up staying together. Love is usually defined by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. Okay, so you only really know how much you love yourself or anyone else by that measure. Are you willing to make and keep commitments? And that's why in a long distance relationship, you find that out pretty quickly, right? Is he, if he says he's flying in Tuesday or if he's driving up Tuesday, does he show up on Tuesday? Does he cancel more times than he shows up? You know, that's a really just simplistic way to look at it. But there's other, you know, there's other examples. And I find that that I live my life by that statement. And words are very nice, but ultimately it comes down to actions, you know?
Yes, that's right.
So if somebody's willing to make and keep commitments, great. If they tell me they love me, but they can't show up or they keep canceling or they're always late, I'm probably not going to have much time for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Also, yes. Also, in a relationship, I know people have discussed should be opposite type or should be the same type of person. They have pro and con if you're a different kind of person,
Yes.
but or you're the same kind. So what do you recommend?
The most successful relationships that I see are the ones that are balanced between complementary energy.
Oh,
So that means
balance.
that you have complements. Maybe one of you's like more prone to being stressy and kind of type A, one of you's more prone to being a little bit more chill, right? You know, maybe one of you is good at cooking, one of you is good at cleaning, you know. Those, you know, for a successful relationship, you need chemistry, which is a gift from God, compatibility, which is really, do you want the same things? And is one of you in the feminine energy, is one of you more in the masculine energy, at least on certain items? So, you know, if both of you cook, okay, that could work. But it could also end up in a power struggle. So it's not like it's one size fits all, but really the more successful relationships are those in which he can paint and draw and she can write and read. You know what I'm saying? Like these, because
Okay.
then you guys never really get sick of it, you know, but at the same time, you have to have a certain level of compatibility in terms of wanting the same things. You know, do you?
Compatibility, that's
Right.
something I have been trying to ask. So two leaves are exactly the same for person. When we have differences, we always say we don't want to change the other person, but we
Right.
also want to be able to enjoy each other. So someone will have to, like you say, balance, accommodate. But if we don't want that person to
Sorry,
change,
what?
doesn't that make the accommodation a little like that person should change for you?
Well, it depends.
It's
Oh, one second.
okay.
Okay. Please excuse me. I guess my
Okay, no
neighbor is
problem.
having some kind of reunion. Okay. So ask your question again.
So for compatibility, because people are different, we always have some differences.
Oh, right.
During
How
a
much you
relationship
can
or with any
negotiate.
human,
Yes.
yeah.
Well, part of that is trial and error. You know, there's obviously going to be some things that are deal breakers that are non-negotiables, right? For you, for every person. You know, I would never be with somebody who didn't cherish my feelings, for example. Not 100% of the time, but if that wasn't part of their concern at all, you know, that would be a deal breaker for me. So part of it is knowing yourself and knowing the things that you don't want to compromise on, the things that make you feel horrible, and the things, but also at the same time, being open to new ways of being, you know, open to what they have to show you. And in general, We try not to ask for more, better, and different love from our partner, but we try to appreciate what they are giving us. And a lot of times for women, that's hard because we have in mind what we think they should be giving us. And so when we enter the world of shoulds, we know that we're in a danger zone. So that we want to avoid shoulding on other people as well. Ultimately, you can try it. If he says, I want you to try rollerblading, how do you feel about that? And I feel scared, but I'm willing to try it. And you go, and it's a nightmare. You may never want to go again, right?
Yeah, but will that be like, even though it's not deal breaker, but because you two do not compatible with able doing this sport together, you
Right.
will lose one more interest with
True.
the
And if
person.
you don't have enough interests, then you won't be spent that are overlapping, then you won't be
Yes, that's
spending
right.
much time together.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So, again, you got to see how it goes, You might be surprised. But at the same time, if you're not, ultimately, every relationship is the relationship about the is the relationship that you have with yourself. That's every relationship you have is a reflection of that. So if you're doing things and you're compromising and it doesn't feel good, and there's not a logical reason, like I said, sometimes the pain of change doesn't feel good, and our partners often trigger us. And that can be a healing experience, or it can be a signal to get out. There's no one size fits all. So it takes a little navigation. I mean, nobody does it alone, but that's something that I help people with. Okay.
Okay, and is there any way that, or is there any explanation that you have been thinking of that person a lot?
What do you
But,
mean?
well, just being when you're not with him, you think about him a lot. Is
Well,
that like him a lot, or?
it depends. Sometimes people trigger us, and sometimes we'll have crazy chemistry for people who reenact the roles of our childhood scripts. So it really just depends. It depends if it, sometimes it's a bad sign if it's too obsessive. But, again, it's not one size fits all. So if you have to investigate that a little bit. Why am I thinking about him all the time? Is he a
But I
stand
keep
in for my
thinking of that
dad? Is
person.
he right? Well, look, the romantic projection is very strong and that lasts for 3 years. Then after 3 years, we actually get to know who the person is. But for the first 3 years, they're basically our romantic projection. And so we don't
Oh.
see them clearly.
Do you recommend to proceed further? Relationship until 3 years later.
I think people can get married after 1 year. I think a
Okay.
minimum of 1 year that, because you do get to know certain things about the person. You get to know if they show up or not. For example, if they make and keep commitments, are they cherishing your feelings and those kinds of things? But it's that again is up to a personal preference really. Not no less than a year. No less than a year. Okay, I'm gonna move on a
Okay.
little bit because other people have their hands raised, but if we have time, I'll come back to you. Do you still have more questions? Yeah? No? We'll see. Okay. Hi, Raul. Did you want to add
Hi,
something?
Chloe.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to comment on the idea of how often to visit, I mean to see each other.
Yeah.
I was noticing that that some people that I mean they say that, oh, I like my alone time, and some people don't.
And I noticed that seems to be a correlation between the size of their family. Like people who are in large families tend to value their alone time versus people who are come from smaller families tend to value more, you know, together time.
Hmm.
And I'm the person I value my together time. So I'd have to see my person at probably at least 2 or 3 times a week.
Right. That would be a minimum. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so for me, I'd like seeing my person every day. So, but yeah, definitely does depend.
Yeah,
that's definitely a personal preference. Thanks.
All righty, that's it.
Sarah, did you have another question, Sarah?
Maybe just some advice, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know where to start. So I have been
You don't have to give me too much background. Just give me your question, and then if I need background, I'll ask you for it.
Okay. No, so I just recently started talking to somebody online, and it's only been like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't met this person in person yet. Opened up a lot to him. Like I was so vulnerable about like just
you're kind of going in and out,
telling him the stuff I've been through and stuff. Like is it better now? Or
yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay
so yeah, you opened up to this guy that you've been talking to online for the last 2 weeks, and you've made yourself vulnerable.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I like, you know, pretty much said everything I've been through in my life and stuff, which is a lot of toxic stuff and just childhood trauma, things like that. And I mean, he does have, like, you know, he's 10 years older than me. He's retired from the military, but he works now for the government, and he has a degree in psychology. And like, he's so easy to talk to. And like, I feel like I get a lot of advice from him and stuff like that. But, and he just listens to me, and he always, you know, like, makes me feel like, you know, like I, you know, like at the same time, just like, did I make a mistake? You know,
sorry, you went out when you said makes me feel like what?
Oh, no, he made me feel like he feels for me. He just, you know, says he wishes I never had to go through any of that. And
right. So he's a sympathetic.
How awful it is.
Okay. But you've already been talking 2 weeks?
I guess.
Without meeting?
Only for about, well, yeah, just because he travels for work. He works for the government. He's always traveling. But I mean, we do plan on seeing each other. He just got back today. So hopefully this weekend. We haven't really planned something. Well, yeah, it's kind of hard because he's going to be babysitting for his sister, but he was willing to come see me with his little baby nephew.
That's good.
Just to like, yeah
you guys have to meet in person. Like, mm-hmm. 2 weeks, I think, is the max to be talking to somebody without meeting in person.
Yeah. Well, he was out of state, so I mean, we couldn't, right. But, okay.
But soon.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just thought. I was just a little confused.
What's your concern?
Just like opening up. Like, I have not done that like so soon, but at the same time, like, he's glad I'm sharing things with him, but I'm just like, hopefully not. I mean, I don't know. I'm just worried, but never mind, I guess.
Yeah. No, No, I understand what you're saying. We can sometimes have a little bit of a hangover from being very vulnerable. And I think it's sometimes that's okay, because the person we're talking to is helping or is sympathetic.
Yes.
My concern is that this has all been virtual. Has it been over the phone or has it been text? Has it been FaceTime?
No, it's on the phone.
Okay. FaceTime or
like, just... it wasn't FaceTime when we're talking. We have FaceTime, but that time it was just like we're on the phone for 2 hours and he just like listened to me, like,
okay,
you know, just and like give me advice and stuff. And He thought I like put him in the friend zone because I was like opening up so much to him.
Right. And
I
so
don't
a
know
lot of
them.
times the conventional wisdom is like not to talk about past relationships right away.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I wanted to be upfront because I felt, you know, like I don't know where I'm at right now. It's been like 3 years that I came out of an abusive relationship. And I don't know, like I've been working on myself, but I don't know, like I don't want this to affect my next relationship. And like, I just want to be upfront on like, you know, like
Right.
where I'm at, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if he hasn't had a bad reaction, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, if he's been
Okay.
cool and he wants
Yeah.
to still meet up, then great. You know, then there's
Yeah.
no problem. If he ends up saying, you know what, that was just a lot for me up front without even meeting you first. Well, you know, maybe he's not the right guy, or maybe you want to be more circumspect. But, you know, it sounds like you opened up to somebody. That's not necessarily a bad thing, even if it is a relative stranger. So let's just see. Since you've already opened up a lot, now you can just kind of sit back a little bit more and see what he does. Does he try to make a plan for you guys to go out? Is he going to actually see you? You know, now you can kind of sit back a little bit more and see what he's going to do. You know, don't feel pressure
Yeah.
to continue unburdening yourself all the time. Men need to be needed, though. And so if there's something he can do to help you and he thinks he's helping you, that's going to make him feel good. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to show a man that you're vulnerable. Obviously, if somebody takes advantage of it, then that doesn't make you want to be vulnerable again. But we have to look at his behavior and whether or not he cherishes your feelings. So let's just see what he does. You know, you can pull back on the confessionals maybe a little bit for now and just give him a chance to ask you out and to meet up.
Okay.
Does that
Okay.
sound
good? Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Rochelle.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you. How can I help you?
She brought up a really good point. Being transparent versus, you know, I don't want to discuss that, or, you know, it's like a balancing. I want to be like honest.
Yeah.
And say certain things, but at the same time, I don't want to totally scare someone away, or
100%. And that's why it's hard sometimes over the phone, because you're not seeing the person's reactions.
Right. Or even on a date, like how much do you close right away or not? And, you know, if someone is like, you're on a date and someone's asking, you don't want to really talk about that, first two, three
I mean,
dates.
I think that's fine too. I think it's fine to say, I'm just not that comfortable talking about that right now. You know, that's fine too, if you don't want to talk about it. You know, if you talk too much about the ex, it just makes it seem like you're still in love sometimes. It doesn't sound like that's what was happening with Sarah, but that is the danger, is that you can't kind of move past it. Once the ex comes up, it's hard to move on to another topic.
Right.
So that's why in general I say, you know, wait a little bit on that one. But, you know, that said, like, you know, it's not one size fits all. It is a bit nuanced. And if you're a feminine person looking for comfort or solace, you know, and a man can provide that, then he's able to do good, which then makes him feel good. And if you're asking a man for help and advice, that's a show of respect to him. And so that, you know, that can work in your favor. Does that make sense? You're kind of going in and out, so I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. But like, what would be like a good guideline of like discussing stuff? You know, like what if you have stuff in your past that you don't really want to talk about, you'd prefer to leave it in the past, or
then don't talk about it. No. Don't talk about it. You're not required to, certainly.
That's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, overall, I'd rather not hear about my husband's past sexploits, you know? It's enough. Like you said, it's the past is the past, you know? If there's some bearing on the present, maybe, but, you know, overall, it's usually not a favorite topic, you know?
Okay. So yeah, thank you. That's
fine. You're welcome. Okay. Sophia, did you want to say something else? Where are you?
Hey, yeah.
Hey, okay.
I was just thinking about the whole online dating thing.
Yeah.
And, I've been running into this problem where, like, guys, they want a pen pal. They don't want to meet up, or they're canceling at the last minute, or, like, not scheduling anything at the beginning at all. And I was wondering if you had any tips on, like get them off the app and just, like, start meeting up.
Yes. Okay. So you have to understand that some people on the apps are catfishing, or they're just shopping. So that's why when you get into a relationship now, you have to ask for sexual and social monogamy so that you make sure that your guy or girl is not on the app still. Just kind of like checking things out, you know, because some people will just be on the apps to stoke their egos and to see how many girls they can get, or how many guys they can get, and how many conversations they can get going. As I said earlier, maximum talking on the app for 2 weeks. Then you move it into, it's been great getting to know you. I've enjoyed learning about you, but I really feel more comfortable meeting in person. Or you might baby step it with talking on the phone or having a Zoom date or whatever it is. What do you think about that? And if they don't want to meet, then you can just move on, you know, find somebody else. Because like I said, it could be somebody who's not even available. They have that other app, Ashley Madison, just for married people, but still, some of those people are regular apps. So, does that help?
Yeah, I'll try that. Tell them real talk, like, hey, let's get off this app, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but say it, you want to say it in that feminine way where I feel more comfortable. What do you think about meeting in person? You know?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Any other quick questions? I'm going to put my links to my collateral in the chat again. I usually put up unique content on Instagram and TikTok every day. Most of the resources can be found from my website. You guys know you can reach out to me with quick questions. If I can answer, I will. If not, we'll set up a session. And now, this is probably the last one of the year. Well, I might do one more, but this is probably the last module one that I'll do this year. So if you want to sign up for that small group work where I teach my book and we work intensely, we do homework, it's a 4-week deal, please do that. Rose, did you have a quick question?
Yes. So okay. It comes to everyone's favorite question, I guess.
Okay.
People have discussed that before. Everyone has different opinions how long it should be. It's about what relationship.
I didn't hear that.
When does people going start? Out. Oh, so a lot of people have discussed that the time period that you should wait. Some people say don't wait too long. Some people say life is short. Let's just dive in.
Wait too long.
So when
what?
Does people when should people start to talk about or start the intimate relationship?
Oh, you mean intercourse? Okay. So
something like that.
Okay. So I think you're talking about intercourse, sexual intercourse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So for women often bond from the act of intercourse, anal, oral, or vaginal. It releases chemicals in our brain. Oxytocin's released in the brain so that we get bonded to people even we know aren't good for us if we have intercourse, and that bonding can be up for up to 2 years. My mentor used to say, used to call it, we get bonded at the short hair site. And so that's why you can do whatever you want. Obviously, go have casual intercourse if you want to, but then don't complain that you are about the 2 years of oxytocin detox that you may have to go through. Now, sometimes it doesn't happen. I've had the experience where it doesn't happen. I've had clients tell me that it doesn't always happen, but it often does happen. So you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position when you have intercourse before you get that monogamous commitment that is based on consistency, longevity, right? So until you really negotiate the relationship, if you have intercourse before you negotiate the relationship, it also tends to prevent you from getting to know each other, because the excitement of the intercourse tends to take center stage then. So you put yourself in a vulnerable position. You may stymie yourself from getting to know each other as much. The other thing is that often men will commit because they want to have intercourse with you. So I've had many girls in situation, many clients who've gotten that commitment in that moment where a man wants to have intercourse and they're like, no, I told you, or no, I really am attracted to you, but I know myself and I know I'll catch feelings. So I really need to be in a committed relationship first. And they're like, okay, let's be in a committed relationship, you know? So you have leverage with that as well. So that's my recommendation. Does that make sense? Is there a maximum?
Yes. Yes, I understand that. Okay. But I think about that, people can be vulnerable. But even after you have the committed relationship, I have seen, it doesn't mean I want to have it before a committed relationship, but I have seen a lot of relationships ended about short time after they committed to each other.
Yeah, that so happens sometimes.
People can still hurt, especially at that time. You already committed. You're bonded more stronger.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you're never going to, you know, get rid of all vulnerability and all risk in life or in relationships. Right? That's part of the yin yang. You're going to have security, you're going to have risk. That's the way it is. So, but hopefully these tools help you mitigate that risk. So if you...
tools to mitigate
it? Well, that's what we're talking about here. And that's what we will be talking about more in the module, but looking for those deeds lining up with the words. That's what you look
for. Okay. Got it. Okay, good. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Wendy, is there a maximum time before having sex? No, there's no maximum time, but sometimes if you wait too long, a man will get disinterested. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up now. I hope to see you guys here next week. I've been building this community on Meetup for over 2 years, and it's become a great resource. You can find the recordings of these sessions on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. If I don't hear from you soon, I will hopefully see you next week. Have a good night.